Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. John 11. I'm going to begin in verse 25, but as we prepare to start in verse 25, let's just kind of remember what we've seen coming up to this point. Martha had met the Lord as he approached their house, and she said to him, she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee." And the Lord told Martha, he said, "Thy brother shall rise again." And she, knowing something of the resurrection, she said, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And then the Lord revealed something of the grand scope of himself. And this glorious truth of resurrection. It says, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life." I am actually the experience of the resurrection, and I'm the source of the resurrection, not man. "He that believeth," and remember, whenever we see that ETH, it is that which continues. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now truly, the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection in the last day. I mean, he is the very present. We look at the resurrection as being something that's going to happen. And you go back and read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, and look at these things that Almighty God has done. Accomplished. The very last thing that he said concerning his people is they're glorified already. Now, I'll admit, I can't enter into that, into the depth of that. I know it's so. Here we are this morning. We're sitting and we're hearing the voice. That's what Mike just read about. The voice of the Lord. Now, here's the voice of the Lord. It's God's Word blessed by His Spirit. Now we just, as we hear these words, this is Almighty God speaking. Amazing thought that God is not silent to His people. That Almighty God would speak. So he told Martha, "I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection of the last day, but I'm the resurrection of my people right now," as we looked at last week, in regenerating grace. Almighty God calls His people out of darkness. And while they're walking on this earth, born in Adam, dead in trespasses and sins. And when it pleases God, the Lord, in resurrecting power, speaks and raises them. I mean, while they're right here, gives them a new heart, gives them a new mind, a new eye, a new ear, and raises them, and then raises them daily as they stumble. As they go through this life, that's what the Lord meant when He washed the disciples' feet. I need, you need, you that know Him, need your feet, your walk cleansed every day. Lord, pick me up. Lord, sustain me. Lord, help me. He sustains us. How? By His Word. Blessed by His Holy Spirit, who is the confidence, the hope of our life, our joy. And then He set forth His sovereignty in electing grace and the benefit of it. He said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That is to say, though a man has died in the faith, as every believer does, yet shall he live. He shall be raised to life eternal. Now, this is a promise that only Almighty God can make. Now, here's the bottom line. We're going to die. Now, what guarantee do we have that the Lord is going to raise us from the dead? As I've said before, what I know concerning the resurrection is what Almighty God has said. This body, this flesh that I see deteriorating, that I see aging, that I see becoming weaker, frail. The Scripture sets forth that this body is going to be placed in the ground in corruption. And Almighty God is going to raise it in incorruption. Now, it's going to be changed. That's all I know. Job says, these eyes, I'm going to see God. Right now, we see Him by faith. But in that day, we're going to see Him as He is. And that great mystery, God's people rest in it. God's people believe God. Titus 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Paul preached and believed according to the faith that God had given him. The faith, the scriptural revelation of faith, true faith, is the faith of God's elect, God's people. And how we thank God that He would show mercy to this fallen race of mankind. That the Lord would show mercy by not allowing mankind to perish. Leave man to himself and he's going to perish. The Lord told Martha, Verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Though Lazarus and all like him who have died in the faith, though he's physically gone because of the way he died, by the grace of God, that is in faith, believing, he's going to live again. And whosoever, verse 26, liveth, right now, you that are alive physically and alive spiritually, whosoever liveth and believeth and believeth and believeth in me shall never die. Our Lord spoke to Martha about those who died in the faith and would physically rise again. Now He speaks of their possessing life eternal. And this eternal life that we possess is the very life of Christ. You say, what is it? It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. The confidence of glory. The assurance of glory. When He says the hope of glory. God's people have a confidence. We walk by faith confidently, trusting our Lord. Revelation 26 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection," that is, in regeneration, in electing, predestinating, quickening grace. "Blessed is he that hath part in regeneration," the first resurrection, "on such the second death hath no power." You know, when we went through the book of Revelation, remember we studied that about the second death. And that word "second" right there, it means of another kind, a different kind. We understand something about death. But what we understand is that there's no life there. It's just, there's no movement, there's no motion, there's no emotion, there's no, you know, interaction. If you look at a body and it's gone. There's no life there. But this second death, it's that death that was described and set forth by that rich man in Lazarus. You remember the rich man that fared sumptuously every day? And the scripture says, "And he died and lifted up his eyes out of hell and said," and he spoke to Father Abraham. And the scripture set forth that he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Someone would ask, "Do you think those in hell will be able to go through eternity beholding the mercy of God to God's people, the mercy of God to those that called upon Christ and trusted Him? Do you think they'll see?" This one did. He did. There was a second death. It was another kind of death. It was a death where the scripture sets forth that the worm doesn't die. They go through. That rich man said, I'm tormented in these flames. But he was dead. Separated from God, but it was a second death. It was a different kind of death. Believers are alive spiritually right now. And though they die physically, they'll never see the second death. They'll never see. They'll never die. When the Lord says, "He that believeth on me shall never die," that's what he's talking about right there. Not that they don't die physically, they do. And then the Lord asked Martha, the latter part of verse 26, "Believest thou this? Do you believe what I've just said?" Now this is the acid test. Do you believe me? Do you have a heart for what I've said? A believer knows and he sees, and we admit that we see through a glass darkly, but we see. I know this. I know that the trump of God is going to sound. I know that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I know that Paul says, "We which are alive and remain on this earth shall meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I know at that moment when Almighty God calls those alive and dead, as far as Christ is concerned, are going to rise. And we're going to stand before God in that great white throne judgment. I know that. By faith. But oh, how little I know. How little I see. But we do see. And she said in verse 27, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." When you see Christ, remember this. Christ, the Anointed One. Christ speaks of two natures, divine and human. God Almighty and perfect, holy human nature. That here again, what we know about human nature is what we can see, especially in ourselves and in others, frail, inconsistent, lacking. But a body prepared Him, the Scripture says. When she says, I believe that You're the Christ. I believe that You're the Word made flesh, the Son of God who should come into this world. She believed Him. She believed that she was looking at God Himself in human flesh. Miracle of all miracles. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. But even as she believed Him and looked at Him and saw Him and said, I believe that You're the Christ. That's what Peter said. The Lord asked him, said, who do men say that I am? Peter said, well, some say Jeremiah and some say Elijah and some other prophet. He said, who do you say I am? He said, You're the Christ. You're God. You're My representative. You're God Almighty that has made Himself, taken upon Himself, flesh. You that love this order, wasn't going to let this order die. You're the one. You came. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father, which is in heaven, taught you that. But even as she told him in verse 27, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world. Even then, and I wouldn't know it from just looking at that verse right there, but I do know it from looking at verse 39. We won't make it there today, but look at verse 39 when Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. As she believed him to be the Christ. But oh, how frail is our flesh. How weak is our flesh. When he said, take away the stone. If this woman possessed perfect faith, and she didn't, and none of us do. There's only been one man that's ever had perfect faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. If she would have believed Him perfectly, she'd have never questioned Him telling her to take that stone away. We'll deal with that later. Based upon her answer, she knew Him to be the Christ. But even in our knowledge, how little do we know? Verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. She called Mary and said to Mary that which was only for Mary's ears. I don't doubt for a second that there were some there that hated the Lord. I know verse 45 and 46 bear that out. There were some that were opposers to Him. There were some that were be revealed not to be opposers. But suffice it to say, Martha came to Mary, and she spoke this precious precious sentence. The Master calls for you. The Master calls for you. Can you imagine? There's Mary sitting there. As I said last week, I don't doubt for one second that she heard also when it was announced that the Lord was coming. Martha ran up and ran to Him, and Mary sat still in the house. But then when Martha came to Him, to her, and told her, the Master calls for you. Can you imagine the joy? The Master calls for you. Out of all the people that were there, the Master calls you. He summons you. What a blessing to know that the Master has called. The Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. And His voice, through that sister, Martha, related to her, I want an audience with you. The Master calls. And nothing took a priority over that. And many things that might tempt us away, but His gracious summons enlivens us and speaks to us. And she left everyone else that was there for Him. Verse 30 and 31, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now, an amazing thing just took place. And it is the easiest thing in the world for us to miss. Now this is what just took place. Mary heard the Lord call for her. She got up and left. And then there were some that was there, and when they saw her get up. Now the reason they were there is because they had come to comfort her. Her brother had died. And as soon as they saw her get up, the Scripture says that they say, well, she's going to the grave to weep. And so therefore, they went with her. They did what they wanted to do. They were doing exactly what they wanted to do. This is how much they knew. Mary is going to the grave, and we're here to comfort her, so we're going to go with her. But I want you to notice in verse 45, the Scripture says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. Now there was the end result of what happened in verse 31. What they saw was their friend, Mary, getting up and going, they thought, to the grave. She was going to the Lord. And the Lord was calling them too. Prevenient grace. Grace before grace to draw some of the Jews that were there. Now, verse 46 says, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I'm going to go tattle. Let me tell y'all what He did. But some of them, the Scripture says, that had come to Mary to comfort her. The Lord, in His power, He who rules and reigns in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, He did summon Mary, but he summoned some of them too, because they were going to hear his word. And he called them by power. He called them by grace. They thought that they were going after Mary. But the scripture reveals that the Lord had summoned them. How did you get here? This has always amazed me. Amazing grace, amazing, powerful grace that Almighty God would summon His people to get them under the sound of the gospel, that they might hear. Well, I came here because I've got a friend here. I'm dating somebody. I came here. Some excuse. How'd you get here? I'll tell you exactly how you got here. Almighty God purposed that His people were not going to perish. And He moves and rules and reigns. All power is given unto the Son. Why? That He should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. That's John 17:2. All power. And when He speaks, it is. He speaks to the unregenerate before He calls him out of darkness. And He moves him and puts him exactly where He's going to speak to him. That's what He did to Zacchaeus. By the grace of God, God Almighty moved Zacchaeus. What? Zacchaeus said in his mind, after the Lord said to Zacchaeus, in his mind, I want you to climb up that sycamore tree right there. You're not going to be able to see me, you think, unless you climb up in a tree. So Zacchaeus says to himself, after the Spirit of God moved on him, I think I'll climb up this sycamore tree. And the Scripture says the Lord walked, stopped, and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at your house today. I must. Some that came to see Mary were drawn by the Lord to hear Him, to see Him, because God Almighty was going to show mercy to them. Verse 32, we'll stop with this. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Oh, the struggle that we have with this flesh. This woman that the Scripture says the Lord loved was thinking about what might have been. Lord, if you'd been here, have you ever been in a situation where you reflect back on something and you said, you know what, if I'd have been there, if 2 seconds sooner, if it had just been a second later, that's our thoughts. Lord, if, how often we forget that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Nothing has ever happened in this world that was not absolutely according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to His will, pleasure. Nothing happens that He did not order, allow. But there's something very revealing as we close in the language of these two sisters. In verse 21, when Martha came to the Lord, this is what Martha said. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And then in verse 32, this is what Mary said. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You say, well, they said the same thing. No, they didn't. The wording or the translation, let me tell you, say this. There's something lost in the translation. It's perfectly translated. Let me say that. It's exactly translated. It's exactly the right words. But there's a word that is translated just like it is right here. But there's a word in the Greek that's translated, and its original Greek means a little something different. This is what Martha said. And I went back and I read the literal of what she said. She said, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not be dead. That's the literal of what Martha said. Lord, if you were here, my brother would not be dead. And here's what Mary said. Here's the literal. Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. You say, well, what's the difference? What was utmost in Martha's words was the death of her brother. That's what was the utmost of Martha's words. What was utmost and discerned by Mary was that nobody ever died in the presence of the Lord. One of them, and you remember that Martha and Mary were both loved of the Lord. These were women that knew God, that believed God, that trusted God. And here's the manifestation of two. And both of these women, beloved of the Lord. The Lord said that. The Lord loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. But here's the struggle that's within every one of us, manifested in what these two women said. One of them was grieving over the death of her brother. And I understand that. We lose a loved one and our heart breaks. That's just the way it is. Concerned. Grieving. The other one spoke in a way that magnified his deity. His glory. Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Mary said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother couldn't have died. Your life. You're the Prince of Life. You're the way, the truth, the life. If you'd have been here, he could not have died. Martha and Mary, two women that expressed their heart, set forth the struggles that all of us have. And I'm thankful that the Lord, by His Spirit, would put that in this book of life, and remind us this is what we are by nature. Two women that the Lord loved that were sinners saved by the grace of God. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.